is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Ooh, it is hot. I have to tell you, I'm sitting here with a 44-ounce Polar Pop from the gas station on the way in here because it is just hot. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we are talking today about the environment. I'm sitting here watching my Yankee friends here who are used to a more cool climb, who are already sweating, even inside in the air conditioner. And I have to tell you, there are some people who are saying it's getting hotter and hotter and hotter because of the way that we're driving and eating and buying and shopping and living. What I want to ask you today, do you think that the Christian faith has anything to do with the way that we care for creation, and how do we do it? How do you make sure that in your own home, in your own family, you're caring for creation, you're not contributing to pollution and to the destruction of the creation? I don't use the word environment, I use the word creation. And at the same time, keep from becoming an earth-worshipping nut. That's really the question I have for you today. 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Al Gore is a movie star these days. He's promoting his An Inconvenient Truth movie, and I have to tell you, it's as apocalyptic. Al Gore is the Tim LaHaye of secular American culture. It's the Left Behind series for secularists. It's very, very scary. Question is it scientifically true? I don't know. I don't know where the science is on global warming, because you have so many contradictory facts out there. But what I do want to say is we want to make sure as Christians, on the one hand, we can't be pagan earth worshipers and we can't be secular apocalypticists. But on the other hand, we don't want to be people who think that the earth is something that's there for us to destroy. I mean, the kind of Ann Coulter conservatism out there that says that we ought to just consume, 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 destroy, destroy, destroy. I even heard one conservative commentator say one time, rape the earth. That's not what Christianity is about. We know that from the book of Genesis. We know that from God's command to Noah. So how do we make sure that we care for the earth without falling into some of the hysteria that's out there right now? I really think that part of the reason why you have such interest today in American culture in environmental cleanliness and in conserving natural resources is because we understand something's wrong. What we disagree on is exactly what we ought to do to fix it. What I want to know, in your house, how do you make sure that you care for the creation, that you honor the creation that God has given to us, that you protect it without turning into Al Gore? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Before we do, though, in the news today, the chief of the UN, Secretary General Kofi Annan, today called for an immediate end to the hostilities between Israel and Lebanon. He says there ought to be a ceasefire right away. He says Hezbollah's actions are deplorable. He says Israel does have a right to defend itself. But then he says the excessive use of force is to be condemned. And so Annan says Israel ought to call it off. There ought to be an end to the hostilities. And, of course, the United States is going to have to get involved here in terms of advocating one way or the other what ought to be done. I think President Bush has been very clear so far. It'll be interesting to see where these discussions go from here, especially while you have evacuations continuing to go on from Lebanon of Americans and Europeans who are seeking to get out from a very, very dangerous place. And let's remember to keep praying for not only for Americans and Europeans, let's pray for Israelis and Lebanese, and let's pray particularly for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are there in a very, very tense and anxious situation. Also in the news, the BBC is reporting that the United States of America is the worst for online child abuse. It says that more than 50% of images of child abuse on the internet can be traced to the United States of America. That is a terrible indictment on what's going on right now in the USA. You know, There are those who are saying, even among evangelical Christians, that we have for too long been too silent on the issue of creation and caring for creation. As a matter of fact, the Evangelical Climate Initiative, a new group of evangelicals, including Rick Warren of the Purpose Driven Life, including Richard Cizik of the National Association of Evangelicals, an entire array of evangelicals, have come up with a statement saying global warming is real and we need to protect the earth, and we need to do so by adopting public policy proposals that will protect the earth. This is the new television advertisement that has been played on television stations.
Did you know that evangelical leaders are telling us that global warming must be stopped because it will bring more devastating floods, droughts, and disease? As Christians, our faith in Jesus Christ compels us to love our neighbors and to be stewards of God's creation. The good news is that with God's help, we can stop global warming for our kids, our world, and for our Lord.
You know, I don't agree with a lot of what the Evangelical Climate Initiative is doing, simply because I think they're putting Bible verses together with specific public policy proposals in too simplistic a way. What I do appreciate that they're doing is calling Christians and Christian churches to think about our responsibility to the creation. That's something we all need to be reminded of, especially in this kind of contemporary American culture in which it is spend, 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 throw away. You know, how are we to care for the earth without becoming, I really think there's a form of Pharisaism, a form of self-righteousness that can manifest itself on the environmental left, in which we try to calm our consciences by saying, you know, I buy organic. I make sure that I go and give to global warming initiatives, without really concentrating on how we are living as families and churches in a way that understands we're creatures. We're not machines. We're creatures, and we're here part of a world that God has created. I have with me today one of my favorite writers, a man by the name of Rod Dreher, who is a native of Louisiana, right next door to my home state of Mississippi. And Rod has written a book that I think is great called Crunchy Cons, and it's got one of the longest subtitles, I think, in the 20th century, how Birkenstocked Burkeans, gun-loving organic gardeners, evangelical free-range farmers, hip homeschooling mamas, right-wing nature lovers, and their diverse tribe of countercultural conservatives plan to save America, or at least the Republican Party. That's the title of the book. And what Rod is saying is that we need to understand that part of what it means to be conservative is to have a different way of life. To conserve means to conserve our families, means to conserve our values. It also means to conserve creation and protect creation. And Rod has written this book and has really caused a lot of interest out there, especially with the way that he is arguing that he is a crunchy con, crunchy conservative, a conservative who eats organic food and wears sandals. And I think he has a lot of things to say that we need to hear that are quite good. Rod Dreher, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for having me.
I'm glad to have you. I tell you, I was really interested in reading not only the book, but all the interest that has happened out there in the secular media about the things that you're saying, that some of which shouldn't be all that shocking, but they really are.
Yeah, they really are, because the news media has this very narrow and cartoonish idea of what conservatism is. And frankly, the conservative movement, of which I'm a part, we play a role in that, in defining conservatism as something very narrow. And I think when I started going back and reading about the history of American conservatism, particularly what some of the traditionalist Christian conservatives of the 1940s and 50s were saying about things like the environment, it was really eye-opening to me, because it made me realize that how much I had been manipulated and allowed myself to be manipulated, not only by people on the right who laughed at any kind of environmentalism, but also by the environmentalist nuts on the left who were so extreme they made it impossible to take care for creation seriously.
Now, I think you've made an excellent point there. I think one of the reasons why many Christians shy away from even talking about this is because you have so many environmentalists out there who are really crying, the sky is falling.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I can remember when my wife and I lived in Brooklyn, New York, we'd go out on the main street of our neighborhood on a Saturday, and there would be an animal rights woman there with the table, and she'd see families like ours passing by with with kids in our strollers, and she'd start screaming, "Breeders, breeders!"
Oh, yeah.
That was my idea of animal rights and environmentalism.
Well, Rod Dreher will be right back with us after the break, but in the meantime, I want to hear from you. I want to know, how can you, as a Christian, care for creation without turning into that lady that Rod Dreher is just talking about, who's standing out screaming, "The earth is coming to an end, and you're part of the problem"? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How can Christian churches, and I'm not talking about the Evangelical Climate Initiative, I'm talking about how can you live differently? 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Okay, he's not a woman, but he is from Louisiana. Rod Dreher, author of Crunchy Cons, is here with me today. This is Russell Moore sitting in the studio for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. And we're talking today about how can Christians care for creation without becoming an environmentalist wacko, in the words of one conservative commentator. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Rod Dreher is also a columnist with the Dallas Morning News, and I always stay tuned to whatever he writes. Also read his blog over at BeliefNet. I encourage you to check that out as well. Rod, one of the things that I was really interested in your book is the fact that you're not calling for these grandiose public policy proposals so much. It's not a Kyoto 2. As much as you're calling individuals and families and communities to change the way that they see things and change the way that they do things. And so what I'd like to ask you about is, what can a Christian home particularly do to be more aware of caring for and protecting the earth and the environment?
Well, Russell, I think one thing we can do is not spend so much money on such big houses. Right here in Dallas right now, it's 107 degrees outside. My wife and I live in a small house. It's what we could afford, but if we could afford more, we wouldn't buy a bigger house because we don't need it. But a lot of folks I know have these giant McMansions, and they are breaking the bank just to keep them cooled this summer.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we as Christians can start thinking in very practical ways about ways we waste money and waste energy, we could cut back a lot and do our little bit to help the environment. You can do things, too, like patronize your local farmers market. A lot of people think that I advocate buying organic exclusively in my book. I don't. I think you're far better off buying locally from your local farmer, even mm-hmm. if he raises that produce in a conventional way, not only because it's good to help the local guy, especially here in North Texas where we have some good Christian farmers who raise things to sell at the farmers market, but you also cut down on the price of transporting it all and all the fossil fuel it takes to transport it. I don't know what the advantage is to driving over to Whole Foods and paying top dollar for an organic tomato that's been flown in from Chile.
Yeah, well, isn't that the truth? And especially now, I mean, Walmart is getting into the organic food business. It's becoming just another kind of niche for agribusiness right now.
That's right. That's right. I think, too, that we need to start thinking in practical ways about the environment as a moral issue. And again, I'm not talking about becoming a nut. And for many years, I let the nuts keep me from taking seriously the moral questions raised by the relationship man has to the natural world. But we can start getting involved in local politics. Right here in North Texas, we have really dirty air because, in large part, because of some plants downwind from the city of Dallas. You have a lot of Republican politicians here who have gotten involved to try to clean the air up because they're not caught up in the environmental debate at the national level.
Mm-hmm.
What they can do is go to the ball field and see their children and grandchildren having to use inhalers because the air is so dirty.
Mm-hmm.
It's practical things like that can make a real difference.
Now, one of the things you mentioned also is television and Christian homes cutting off the TV.
Yeah, just turn it off, and because what TV does, I tell my children, I say, what that TV is there for, it's there to entertain you, yes, but it's also there to send a certain worldview into your head. It's there to make you a consumer, to make you want things you don't need. You're far better off playing games with your kids, reading with your kids, getting together with family and friends. People don't do that as much as they used to, but anything you can do to resist that consumerist mindset, which basically trains us to want things we don't need and to want more then we really need.
One of the things I found really interesting was I was reading the New York Times one day, and Ralph Nader, of all people, Ralph Nader was being interviewed in the New York Times, and he was talking about the way that advertising erodes parental authority, that it goes right over the parents, right to the children, to try to create in them covetousness. And I'm thinking, you know what, Ralph Nader actually sounds like a Christian theologian here for a moment.
Well, you're right about that. I write in my book about how when we had our first child, we were still living in New York, we got a gift from a family back in Texas, and it was a book called for the little boy to play with in his high chair as he ate Cheerios, and the book was branded. It had the word Cheerios on there, and he could play little games with the Cheerios. A couple days later, we read in the New York Times how that was the newest frontier for marketers to try to implant brand loyalty into children before they were even verbal.
Mm. One of the things, Rod, that really concerns me about the secular environmentalist movement is the fact that often there's a disdain for human beings. And as a Christian, we understand we not only have a responsibility to protect the creation, but that the creation does exist for human beings. And the woman that you mentioned a few minutes ago, screaming breeders, I think there's something there in the environmentalist movement that often says the earth exists for its own sake. How can we avoid that?
Oh, you're absolutely right. Well, we just know, we know from our faith and we know from our reason that that's true, and that what they're what they propose is false, and that we have been given dominion over the earth. But with that dominion also comes great responsibility. We're warned by God not to misuse that power. I think of somebody like Wendell Berry, the agrarian essayist and poet who lives in Kentucky now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's often associated with the left and with environmentalists, but he told me that he has for years refused to get involved with any environmentalist campaigns because the environmentalists will not recognize that human beings have a role to play in the environment, that the environment doesn't stand over human beings and has claims over the lives of human beings that human beings just have to yield to. And I think that's a sensible position. We need to learn to live in harmony with the earth, not dominating it at all costs, but at the same time not allowing it to dominate us.
Well, and one of the things Wendell Berry also says, that part of caring for creation is having babies. Is actually reproducing, and he's spoken out very harshly against abortion, and I think we can see some of the ways in which our culture right now sees human beings as a commodity. Even this week, with the House and Senate passing the bill on embryonic stem cell research.
Well, you're exactly right on that, and it's interesting you bring that up because I see in the way conservatives sometimes think about the environment, the same way liberals think about the environmental embryonic stem cell debate. A lot of people think that if good will come out of doing experiments on these embryos, then why not do it if science can let us do it? Well, we know as Christians that that is the road to hell right there. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite as morally urgent as human life, but I think a lot of conservatives tend to think that way about the environment too, that if we can develop it and exploit it and do this or that with it, well, then why shouldn't we do it? Well, maybe we should stop and think about whether this is something God would have us do, or whether we're exercising responsible stewardship of the earth, not only for the children we have now, but for future generations. You know, Russell Kirk said that we have a sacred contract with future generations, the generations yet to be born.
You know, one of the things you mention also in your book is really a conservative approach to animals. We have animal rights activists all over the country right now who you know, don't call it a pet, call it an animal companion and that kind of thing. And often we want to overreact to that as well. But you argue we ought to have a sense of stewardship and care for animals.
You know, that's right. And the thing that turned me around on the environment was reading the book Dominion by Matthew Scully. Matthew was a former George W. Bush speechwriter who is really interested in animal welfare, and he approaches it from a conservative point of view. And that opened my eyes to the way we farm animals in this country, the way we get our animals to eat. And it's just barbaric, some of the factory farming that we engage in, all in the service of cheap meat, cheap and plentiful food. My wife and I try to get our meat from these evangelical Christian farmers here in Texas who do believe that animals were created by God to be out in the field and to be free, and they raise them without the factory farming methods because they believe that's what God called them to do.
All right. Thank you, Rod Dreher, author of Crunchy Cons. What I want to know from you is, how can Christians care for creation? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
It's not that easy being green. Having to spend each day the color of the leaves, when I think it could be nicer being red or yellow or gold or something much more colorful like that.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and that is my fellow Mississippian Kermit the Frog saying it's not easy being green. And that's really true, especially right now when the environmental debate in the United States of America seems to be divided between people who say, you know, let's just make money and do what we need to do and let's put a Walmart up everywhere, and people who are saying human beings are a parasite on the face of the earth, let's let the earth and Mother Nature have her way. And that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us neither of those options. Instead, the Bible tells us we're creatures and we're created to be in an atmosphere. We're created to be in a garden initially, and we're also created to civilize. We're created to subdue and to have dominion over the earth. That means that we're to build. The Bible continually gives us not only permission, but a mandate to build cities and towns and civilizations. As a matter of fact, at the end of the story in Revelation chapter 21 and 22, we have a garden, but we have a garden city. You have civilization there. And so we have to avoid both of these extremes, but sometimes that's difficult. It's difficult to know how to do it. And, you know, one of the things I think is really easy is to say, oh, well, I'm in favor of this public policy proposal or that public policy proposal. But what I want to know is how in your own home and in your own community do you teach your kids, for instance, to care for creation without turning them into some type of a pagan echo worshiper? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let me know how you think Christians can address the issues of environment and creation care. I just don't think the Evangelical Climate Initiative does it the right way. I think instead this is more of a political movement taking Bible verses and attaching them to something we just don't know enough about to say the Bible mandates these particular controls on climate change. Instead, I think we ought to start much smaller, and we ought to start much more locally, and first start talking about, you know, what does the Bible demand from us as families when it comes to caring for creation? How do you teach a child to handle pets, for instance? How do you teach a child not to be someone who sees the entire planet as existing just for his consumerist urges? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let me know how you think the church ought to address the issue of creation and the environment. 877-893-TALK. We have Gail on the line from Bluff City, Tennessee, listening on WHCB. Gail, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you.
What's your comment today?
Well, we need to set an example to everybody, and all through the Bible we are commanded to use stewardship, and I think it's important that we use our resources wisely, and if there's a newer, better way to use these resources, you know, I think we need to do it with, you know, within the Bible's guidelines. But we have to be careful because a lot of non-Christian environmentalists don't realize that we can't save the earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's under the curse, you know, that occurred at the fall in Genesis.
You know, Gail, I think that is a really important point to make for all of us to realize. We do have a stewardship over the earth, but that doesn't mean that we're going to be able to save the earth. I think the Bible does tell us the earth is, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8, it is subjected to futility. It is groaning in bondage right now. That's part of the curse. But that doesn't mean that alleviates us of responsibility and stewardship. You know, it's kind of like the guy who says to his wife, you know, well, the Bible says that you will have travail in childbirth. Therefore, you know, you're not going to have an epidural. Well, that's not what the Bible necessarily teaches. The Bible does teach that you'll have travail in childbirth and also teaches that the man will live by the sweat of his brow, but that doesn't mean that we don't take action to try to alleviate some of the symptoms of the curse. But you're right, we can't be utopian. We can't think we're going to be able to save the earth, nor do we need to become, I think, kind of smug and self-righteous in this. You know, you see a lot lot of that in the kind of whole foods, organic type craze going on right now. There's almost a sense of satisfaction. I bought these organic, you know, I was reading in this Washington Post article about Rod Dreher that he actually came across in a whole food store organic Peeps. You know, those little chicken things that you get at Easter, Peeps, organic Peeps. I think there's something kind of wrong with the creation when you come up with an organic Peep. I don't even know what that would look like. What I want to know from you, though, is how, as a Christian, do you care for creation? And how do you think we ought to be talking about this as families and churches? Do you think we ought to recycle? Do you think we ought to teach our children how to care and have stewardship over pets? And what does that have to do with the way that you see the gospel, the way that you see the new creation? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we're talking today about the creation and stewardship. And this is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
And entertain ourselves, still ain't got a job. Now work in the market as a checkout girl. I know things will get better. You'll find work and I'll get promoted. We'll move out of the shelter, buy a bigger house and live in the suburbs.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about the creation and saving the environment. Right now, Al Gore is out there all over movie screens all over the country saying, you know what? The Earth is very endangered, and we are possibly even coming to the end of the world. And one of the things I want to say about Al Gore is I think Al Gore is an alarmist in a lot of ways. I think that Al Gore is picking up on a 1970s type of environmentalism that thinks the way to wake people up is to tell them everything is falling to pieces. And I don't think that's quite what the science is telling us. But I do think what we can learn from Al Gore and from others who are saying we need to care for the environment is that, yeah, we need to care for the environment. We need to care for creation, but not because human beings are some type of parasite on the back of the earth. Instead, God has given us a stewardship to take care of creation, and we all know that to some level. The question is, how do we do it as Christians in our own homes? I mean, we're not going to be able to get ourselves out of a world of Walmarts and Target stores and iPods. We're not going to be able to do that right now. So how do you, as a Christian, maintain stewardship over the creation? How do you care for creation without turning into an environmentalist nut or an animal rights nut? How do you keep those things in balance? We care for the earth because God created it. We don't want it paved over, all over. And yet, how do we do that recognizing that ultimately we don't save the earth? Ultimately, Jesus saves the earth. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And what I'm particularly interested in is how you care for creation. Or maybe you don't. Maybe some of you say, you know what, I just don't see this as a spiritual issue at all. It's not anything I'm worried about, and I'm just simply moving on with life. I want to know why. You know, why do you have that attitude? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. We have Eric on the line. Eric, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate today's program. I love the Lord, and ways that I try to I work horses. I live in a rural area. God created horses, and I mow my land with horses. I plow my garden with horses. I pull lumber out of the woods with horses. And God provides mobility for me. He provided me with a healthy body. When I live in the city, I utilize a bicycle. Almost for all my mobility needs, sailing. Think about where the technology of sailing would be. How much cargo could we move? How quickly, if we still focused on sailing? Think about how organic that would be.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, horses—they supply me with a clean, live within the natural cycle. I'm able to get things done, And God provides that for me, and I appreciate that.
All right. How about you? How do you care for creation as a Christian? And do you really even think that's something important for Christians to even be thinking about or talking about? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. You know, I think Eric's point is well made. You know, one of the comments and one of the words that I hate probably most of all is the word redneck. It may be because I am one, I guess. I come from South Mississippi, and I think it's kind of one of the last epithets that you can use in American culture. But I really think there's something about the fact that redneck culture, people who work in the land, people who have red necks because they're working in the fields, actually are closer to the creation than many of these environmentalist lobbyists out there. As a matter of fact, let me take that back, than all of these environmentalist lobbyists out there. I remember my wife and I used to live next door to this couple of kind of hippies who shopped at Whole Foods, and they talked about their organic food all the time. And he had a car outside with a bumper sticker on it that said, "My other car is a pair of boots." And I would sit out there every day and say, "No, it's not. Your other car is a minivan. I'm looking at it right now, right next to you." And I think there's that sense of environmentalist self-righteousness that causes some of us to be so repulsed we don't even want to care for creation. But how should we talk about it? How, as Christians, should we encourage one another to be good stewards of the creation? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let me know, how can we have a Christian alternative to Al Gore? Are the alternatives simply Al Gore or New York City? I don't think so. I think that there's another way that God has given to us, and it's called stewardship. And what that's going to mean is that we're often going to disagree with one another about what that looks like. We're going to disagree about necessarily how you care for creation, but one of the things we've got to do in our own homes is actually get outside. I think God created us and made us to be people who are outside, not sitting in front of the blue glow of a television screen all the time. I think that really is where in Christian homes, you have most of the disconnect. It's not that we don't support the right political proposals. It's that we don't care about creation because we're never in it. We're children of Adam, made to till the soil, God tells Adam, made to subdue the earth, and we never even see it. Our kids are never at parks. Our kids are never roaming through the woods because they're playing video games. Because they're sitting in front of the television watching Sesame Street or some other inane thing rather than actually running through the mud. Some of our kids are too sophisticated to run through the mud. And I think that that may be where a lot of our problems are happening. We have Matthew on the line. Matthew, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Glad to. What's your comment today?
Well, I live in the urban core of Louisville with a family, wife and three little girls. And the simple comment that I want to make is that, among other things, you know, we as Christians need to be obviously a vocal and a living presence of the gospel in our communities.
Uh-huh.
But we also need to, you know, make a presence known in those places that are just torn down and broken down, not merely because we don't care for the environment, but obviously because of sin. And in addition to that, you know, we need to care for those places that we live. We should have a presence in poor communities. A small expression of that is just to care for, you know, our immediate surroundings, picking up trash, planting flowers,
okay,
being a neighbor in that regard.
Okay, Matthew says you can actually care for creation by picking up trash and planting flowers in your communities. How do you care for creation as a Christian? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller. This is the Albert Mueller Program.
Leather boots are still in style for manly footwear. Beads and Roman sandals won't be seen. And football's still the roughest thing on campus. And the kids here still respect the college dean.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. I agree with Merle Haggard. I'm not wearing Birkenstocks no matter what the environmentalist movement tells us. But I do think it's important for us to think about care for creation. Stuart is on the line calling from Zeeland, Michigan. Stuart, welcome to the Albert Mohler program.
Well, thank you for taking my call, sir.
Glad to. What's your thought today?
I am greatly concerned about so many Christians going with the environmentalism when the tribulation is upon us here soon. The Lord will be coming back soon,
mm-hmm.
and our churches are no longer taking funds well enough. They're not funding missionaries. They're not taking care of telling the people about loss. They'd rather revert their monies towards making sure that the forest is being taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, the forest is not going to be going to heaven or hell. It's human beings. Human beings need Jesus, and we need to be able to do that rather than taking care of the environment.
Good point, Stuart. At some level, I think you're right that our first priority ought to be to evangelizing the lost. But I think at the same time, we also need to be in our own families and communities picturing for the world what God thinks is important. And I think that ultimately we need to realize we're not going to be standing on a cloud looking at a light for eternity. Bible says we're going to be in a recreated, restored universe, a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells, in which everything that pleases God is there, trees and rocks and waterfalls. That's what we mean when we say God loves the world. But the way he does that, which I think is the good point that Stuart is making, the way he does that ultimately is not through any environmental initiative. It's through redeeming human beings. Paul says in Romans chapter 8 that the creation is groaning. The creation is groaning for liberation, and the way the creation is liberated is not through a Kyoto Protocol. It's not through an evangelical climate initiative. It's through the resurrection of the sons of God who receive their adoption as sons. It means we need to care for creation. We need to make sure we're not denigrating that God has created and declared to be good. We ought to be humble and not say the Bible mandates this policy or that policy. We also need to be teaching our children, you know what? We don't tear up what God made. We love it. We don't worship it. But we know it pleases God. And ultimately, when we're raised from the dead, we're not going to be standing in a parking lot. We're standing in a garden city. God says that's good. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about the issues that matter from a God who loves the world. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.